Translation by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. There are principles to regulate attachment and aversion pertaining to the senses and their objects. One should not come under the control of such attachment and aversion because they are stumbling blocks on the path of self-realization. So here Krishna is clearly saying that attachment and aversion, both of them, can be stumbling blocks. Srila Prabhupada's purport: those who are in Krishna consciousness are naturally reluctant to engage in material sense gratification. But those who are not in such consciousness should follow the rules and regulations of the revealed scriptures. So here Prabhupada's describing two classes of persons who are devotees. There are those devotees who are naturally reluctant to engage in material sense gratification, and there are other devotees who are not reluctant. There's some attraction there. And so they should follow the rules and regulations of the revealed scriptures. So then Prabhupada says that unrestricted sense enjoyment is the cause of material engagement, but one who follows the rules and regulations of the revealed scriptures does not become entangled by the sense objects. So from this we can understand that the rules and regulations of the scriptures are there to help us overcome the cause of material engagement, which is being entangled by the objects of the senses. For example, Prabhupada says, sex enjoyment is a necessity for the conditioned soul, and sex enjoyment is allowed under the license of marriage ties. According to scriptural injunctions, one is forbidden to engage in sex relationships with any woman other than one's wife. All other women are to be considered as one's mother. But in spite of such injunctions, a man is still inclined to have sex relationships with other women besides his own wife. These propensities are to be curbed. Otherwise, they will be stumbling blocks on the path of self-realization. As long as the material body is there, the necessities of the material body are allowed, but under rules and regulations. And yet, we should not rely upon the control of such allowances. One has to follow those rules and regulations unattached to them, because practice of sense gratification under regulations may also lead one to go astray, as much as there is always the chance of an accident even on the royal roads. So here's Prabhupada saying that even if we're very strict with the following the rules and regulations, we may still go astray. Why is that? So if we enjoy unrestricted sense enjoyment, we go astray. And if we're too strict, we end up going astray. Why is that? Who knows?
Because enjoyment and detachment can be under the modes of passion and ignorance.
Right? Well, that was Krishna said in the verse, that attachment and aversion. But why? Why the aversion leads one as much astray as the attachment to material sense enjoyment? That's the question, yeah?
Because when I always think of not doing something, in the end, I just think of it all the time.
The thing is that that which is forbidden becomes attractive. As soon as you say to a child no, then they want it more. Is that right, mothers? So, if we become too fanatical and not follow our nature and try to reach the middle path, which is what Krishna is preaching in Bhagavad Gita, not too much, not too little, then we're going to be biting, in America we say biting the bullet. It means we're going to be fighting against the senses. And it's going to build up this desire, until I just go mad. And we've seen that. People have gone mad. So the middle path, slow and steady. And this reminds me of a letter that Srila Prabhupada sent to Satswarup when he first got married in the late 1960s. So he married his god sister Jadarani. They were living in the Boston temple. So he wrote a letter to Srila Prabhupada. And in Prabhupada's letter, he replies, "My dear Satsarup, you have written how to control the senses and the sex desire now that you are married and living with your wife." So, and then Prabhupada gives the Vedic standard. This is the standard, and then he gives the standard. But then after giving the standard, he says, "So therefore, try to follow this as far as possible." In other words, it's not you do it or you're in Maya. It's not like that. Try to follow this as far as possible, not impossible. So if we try as far as possible, gradually we end up giving up these things naturally, because Prabhupada says in the beginning, those who are in Krishna consciousness are naturally reluctant to engage in material sense gratification. Why are they naturally reluctant to engage in material sense gratification? Because param drishva nivartate, they're experiencing a higher taste, a higher pleasure. If we don't experience a higher pleasure, then we're going to go for the lower pleasure, because we have to have something to keep us balanced, because the material world is a struggle. You have to work night and day and no time even to read a book. So we have to have some kind of balance. And that balance is Shravanam Kirtanam Vishnu Smaranam, the process of Bhakti Yoga. By taking to the process of Bhakti Yoga, we fulfill the need for enjoyment. We fulfill the need for satisfying the senses. So how do we satisfy the senses in Bhakti Yoga? Because the senses are always attracted to the objects of the senses. You can't deny it. You know, when you do meditation, you always close your eyes. You know why you close your eyes? Because as soon as the eyes are open, the mind immediately is analyzing everything. He's wearing white, he's wearing green, she's wearing pink, you know, she's got blonde hair, he's bald, you know, the mind is just always analyzing. So to stop the mind from analyzing, from being so active, you close your eyes in meditation. That helps. So in order to satisfy the senses, in Bhakti Yoga, we give the senses spiritual sense objects. So instead of going to the cinema, we go to the temple. Instead of seeing some movie, we see the deities. Instead of going to a nightclub for singing and dancing, we come here for singing and dancing. Instead of eating in some restaurant, dead animals, we eat Mahaprasad that's offered to the Lord. So in this way, all of the senses are fully engaged in spiritual sense objects. Thus, the mind and the senses become purified, because spirit purifies. So, Prabhupada says, he's even on the royal roads, there's accidents, so we can't just bite the bullet. No, 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 I won't do it. So we have to engage the mind and the senses in spiritual sense objects. Now, although the senses may be very carefully maintained, no one can guarantee that there will be no danger even on the safest road. The sense enjoyment spirit has been current a very long, long time owing to material association, birth after birth after birth after birth. Therefore, in spite of regulated sense enjoyment, there is every chance of falling down. Therefore, any attachment for regulated sense enjoyment must also be avoided by all means. So this is a difficult one for people to understand, because this is Prabhupada's talking about our sadhana. So he's saying here, in spite of regulated sense enjoyment, which is our sadhana, there is every chance of falling down. Therefore, any attachment for regulated sense enjoyment must also be avoided by all means. So we're not attached to the sadhana. If we're not attached to the sadhana, what are we attached to? Who knows? We become attached to Krishna. The process of bhakti yoga is reawakening or re-establishing our loving relationship with Krishna. If we don't have a relationship with Krishna, it's going to be impossible to carry on. Just like the Mayavadi philosophers, Prabhupada gives the example, they're always saying, neti, neti. No, 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 not this, not this, not attached to that, not attached to that. So Krishna speaks in the Bhagavad Gita that we should become detached. And we have to control the mind and the senses. And in the sixth chapter, which is a little further down the line, Krishna finally says to Arjuna that you have to control the mind and the senses. And Arjuna says, yeah, right. For you, it's okay for you to say that, Krishna. But for me, it's easier to control the wind than it is to control the mind. How many people agree with Arjuna? But Krishna doesn't. Krishna says, it's not easy, undoubtedly, but it can be done. And then he explains how it can be done, by detachment and suitable practice. And Prabhupada explains what the detachment is and the suitable practice is in that sixth chapter, purport, verse 35. The suitable practice is Shravanam Kirtanam, hearing the messages of Krishna, the teachings of Krishna, the glories of Krishna, Krishna Leela, his qualities, his pastimes, his beautiful unlimited forms, his teachings, everything about Krishna. Hearing about Krishna, we become attached to Krishna. This is what happened to Rukmini. Rukmini was a beautiful princess, and when she became of marriageable age, her father and her brother decided it would be a good alliance if their family united with the family of Shishupal. Anyway, she abhorred Shishupal. Oh my God, this is torture, this is hell. How can I marry this guy? I hate him. So she wrote a letter to Krishna, and she gave this letter to a brahmana. Now Krishna was far away. He was in what we call nowadays Gujarat, and he was engaged in a battle. So she wrote the letter that, you know, my dear Lord, although we've never met, I've heard about your qualities for so many years, and I've, now that I'm marriageable age, I have in my heart, I've chosen you to be my husband. However, my family wants me to marry, and they're making arrangements for me to marry Shishupal. And then she said, but what is fit for the lion should not be given to the jackal. So she sent this letter with the brahmana to that place. What's the name of that? What's that town again? I forget. Right, Dakor in Gujarat. And the brahmana, at the end of each day's fighting, both sides would take rest and have something to eat. So then he approached Krishna and say, "I have a letter for you from Princess Rukmini." So he read the letter, and Krishna fulfills everyone's desires. So immediately he got on his chariot and left. Of course, the next morning, when they all saw Krishna had left, he got a bad reputation. He was called Ranchor, one who leaves the battlefield. For Kshatriyas, one who leaves the battlefield, you're considered a coward, and you get a bad reputation. Of course, that's not why he left the battlefield, because he was a coward. But he left to fulfill the desires of Rukmini. Anyway, the day that was like just before the wedding had been planned, the fire yajna, the vivaha yajna, was about to be performed. So that day, Rukmini, in the morning, she and her most trusted maidservant had gone to the temple to worship Durga and to pray for protection. And as she came out of the temple, all of a sudden, Krishna appeared on his chariot, swooped down, picked her up, put her in the chariot, and off he went. And of course, her family members all saw this, so they chased after him. Anyway, it's a whole history. Of course, Krishna can never be defeated. So the point is, simply by hearing about Krishna, which is called Shravana, and glorifying Krishna, she became so attached to him. It can work for us also. So by hearing about the qualities of Krishna, chanting his holy names, reading about his glories and his pastimes, living his teachings, putting his teachings into our practice, moment to moment to moment in our daily life, we become attached to Krishna. And becoming attached to Krishna, we automatically become detached from material sense enjoyment. That's why Prabhupada says here right at the beginning, those who are in Krishna consciousness, actual Krishna consciousness, are naturally reluctant to engage in material sense gratification because param dritva nivartate, they have experienced a higher taste. So to go back down to the lower taste is no longer attractive. We already have something higher, something more beautiful, something superior. In other words, if someone gives you gold, you give up the iron like that, and you become attached to the gold. Why? Because you know the value of gold. Otherwise, if gold was just a metal, like iron, you didn't know the difference, then it wouldn't make any difference to you. Similarly, when we realize and know the value of our relationship with Krishna, then we can easily give up our relationship with material energy and the material sense gratification. So we have to understand what is the value of Krishna consciousness. If we don't, if it's just our sadhana, or it's just a lifestyle, then we're not going to get raised to the highest level, and that reluctance to engage in material sense gratification won't manifest, and we'll always be struggling with it. You know, oh, I don't want to look. No, I can't do this. Or if you go past a fleischerei, is that what they call them? You say, that's terrible. You know, this is aversion. You just walk by, you don't even think about it. So then Prabhupada sums it all up. He says, attachment to Krishna consciousness, or acting always in the loving service of Krishna, detaches one from all kinds of sensory activities. Becoming attached to Krishna means you become detached from Maya. And we have seen over the years, those who are attached to Maya Eventually they become detached from Krishna. Unfortunate. Therefore, Prabhupada concludes, no one should try to be detached from Krishna. No one should be detached from Krishna consciousness at any stage of life. And then in the last sentence, Prabhupada says, the whole purpose of detachment from all kinds of sense attachment is ultimately to become situated on the platform of Krishna consciousness. And Krishna consciousness means several things. First, it means you're always conscious of Krishna. Second, it means you always have a similar consciousness as Krishna. What is the consciousness of Krishna? He's very humble, very kind. He's always giving love. No matter how abominable your activities may be, he never stops loving you. He doesn't send you to hell, although some groups think that. He's very humble. He is the most humble. Think about it. Ishvara Paramakrishna, the supreme controller of all other controllers, Krishna, who is Sarva Karana Karanam, who is the cause of all causes, Anadi, who is beginningless, but Adir Govinda, but as Govinda, he begins everything. This supreme controller of all other controllers takes the humble position of a barefoot cowherd boy eternally, playing on a bamboo flute. Barefoot. He doesn't wear shoes. So therefore, Krishna is so humble that when he sees humility in his devotees, he's very attracted. Because that's the quality Krishna is most attracted to, humility. And when he sees that humility, he thinks, oh, you're just like me. And Radharani says, oh, Krishna, he's just like you. Give him your mercy. And of course, Krishna will do whatever Radharani tells him. So, the whole point here is to avoid the stumbling blocks on the path of Krishna consciousness. So one should not come under the control of attachment to the senses and their objects, and one should not come under the aversion of the senses and their objects. They shouldn't even be in our life. You don't have to think about them. We only think of Krishna. So they're not there. The only thing that's there in our life is the holy names, the holy teachings, the holy association, the holy dhams, the holy rivers. That's where we want to be. And if we follow the teachings of Krishna, and as explained by Lord Chaitanya, and as given to us by Srila Prabhupada, then we will be successful. How do I know? Because in Los Angeles in 1975, when I was there, Prabhupada came three times in 1975. Came February, June, and July. So in June when he came, he gave one class. And at the end of the class, he said, so, if you follow all the instructions that I have given you, which to go over them is chanting Hare Krishna, taking prasadam, attending the aartis, going out and preaching, all the instructions, japa, kirtan, everything. He said, if you follow all the instructions I have given you, I guarantee that in this life you go back to Godhead. So Prabhupada gave a guarantee. And that evening, Sri Dayananda Maharaj gave the Bhagavad Gita class. And he referenced what Prabhupada had said in the Bhagavatam class. So he was saying, this morning we heard Prabhupada give a guarantee that if we follow his instructions, in this life we'll go back home, back to Godhead. So now we all have to be careful not to void the warranty. That's the term he used, void the warranty. And he gave an example. if you get a car or a electronic equipment, you know, you get a warranty that if something goes wrong within a certain period of time, they'll fix it free. However, if you try to do that yourself, then you void the warranty. They won't honor it. If you try to fix it yourself, then take it to them. So in other words, the point he was making is we have to follow the instructions and not speculate. We just follow. We may not even understand. And we do that all the time. Some people say, well, how can I follow something if I don't understand it? Well, you do it all the time. And I'll give you an example just to make it clear. We've all had a headache, right? Sometime. Because material life gives you a headache. So what do? You get a tablet, the headache tablet. And you pop it in your mouth, swallow with water, and an hour or so, headache goes away. Nobody knows how that works in the body, to take your tablet, take the headache away. Nobody even knows what's in the pill, in the tablet. You just take it and it works. Do you have to understand for it to work? No. Do you have to have faith in it for it to work? No. I don't think this will work, but I'll take it anyway. No, it works because it's scientific. So Prabhupada also said that this is the science of spiritual life. So if we follow the practices of Krishna consciousness that's been given to us coming in parampara, then it will work because it's spiritual science, whether you understand it or not, whether you believe it or not. Just like, for example, when I first came, and I'm sure when other people came, the mood is, let me give this a try, see if it works. Because I'd been going to many different yoga groups, and I was already following some practice. So I thought, well, let me give this a try. And if I find something else, I can always move on. So we don't come with faith, we come more or less with curiosity. Well, Krishna says there's four kinds of people that come. Those who are in need of money, okay? You're very poor, so you come here, you get your own room, you get good association, three meals a day, you don't have to work. Ah, yeah, that's why a lot of Bengalis join. So, need of money or curiosity. Okay, what's this? Let me try it, see if it works. Or you're actually looking for absolute truth. Let me check this one out. I've been searching. Will this work? And what's the fourth one? I forget.
Suffering.
Oh yeah, we're suffering from material energy. It's just too much, you know. So you join the movement for shelter. So most of us come not because we have faith, total faith in Krishna, or we believe Krishna is God. Even today, right now in this room, we may have faith that Krishna is God, but not 100% faith. Why don't we have 100% faith? Because I haven't seen him. I haven't experienced a relationship with him. I'm hearing this and that, but how do I know it's true? Just like I give an example, when I was interviewing for my first book, I was interviewing a lot of devotees. So one of the devotees I interviewed, he gave a really nice interview, very positive and everything, but he had left. He was living outside. He was no longer part of following Bhakti Yoga. So after the interview, I asked him, well, why did you leave? And his answer was very instructive. He says, well, I tried it for 6 years, and I didn't experience any of the things they say in the book. So he didn't have patience. He figured he'd become self-realized in 6 years. But the Goswamis, they teach us there's certain things that are necessary for us to be successful. One of them is patience. Second was enthusiasm. He had enthusiasm, but he didn't have patience. So we should carry on and gradually make more and more advancement. And even Krishna alludes to Arjuna in the Bhagavad Gita that you don't have faith. So if Arjuna doesn't have faith, what to speak of us? Who knows what that verse is? Okay, it's 1866. Sarva dharman parityaja mami kam sharanam vraja. Forget all those other dharmas. Because Arjuna, he wants to follow the Kshatriya dharma. If I do this, if I do that, so many unfortunate things are going to happen. All the sin will come to me. I don't want to be part of it. So forget all those things. Mame kam sharanam vraja. Surrender to me. And then Krishna says, and if you do, ahankram sarva papebhyo, I'll take away all your sinful reactions. In fact, during the whole Bhagavad Gita, he's saying the sinful reactions will come to me, so you don't have to worry about it. But anyway, you'll have no sinful reactions, past, present, and future. Moksha ishyami, I deliver you back to home, back to Godhead. Ma suchaha, don't worry. Why do we worry? Because we don't have complete faith. We have doubts. So if I say to you, for example, invest $10,000 in my scheme, and within 1 year you can double it, have $20,000. And I say, don't have any doubt about it. What am I really saying when I say, don't have any doubts, don't worry about it? What am I really saying?
Trust me.
Trust me, exactly. So Krishna is saying, trust me, to Arjuna and to everyone else, to all of us. And that's what's lacking. That's why we're here. That's why we're not already pure devotees. Because we still have some doubts. We don't 100% trust Krishna. So how to develop that trust for Krishna? Well, number one is to establish a relationship with Krishna. How do you establish a relationship with Krishna? That's the question. Who has the answer? It's the same way you establish a relationship with anybody else. How do you do that? Sorry? Service is one thing. What else?
Hanging out with his friends.
Sorry?
Hanging out with his friends.
Hanging out with his friends is another one. But you got to talk to him. If Krishna is your best friend and you never talk to him, how is he your best friend? You're my best friend, but I've never spoken a word to you in my life. It doesn't make sense. We have to start communicating with Krishna. And he hears you because he's right in here. He knows every language. He hears every prayer. So in the beginning we can maybe say prayers from the Shastra, but eventually you gotta break the ice and talk to Krishna. And do things for him. And ask him how he liked it. What else can I do for you? And he'll respond. And when we get that reciprocation from Krishna, then we know he's there. So many years ago in New York, there was this one lady. She was quite a wealthy lady from a wealthy family. And she could see, I wouldn't say preaching, I would say I was sharing with her a little bit of spiritual life. So she could see that I was really into it. So she remarked one day that maybe I had been a little too preachy that day. I don't know. She said, you should be more nonchalant about your spiritual life. And anyway, how do I know God exists? So I said to her, well, look, you want to find out? Yeah. Are you willing to do a little test, a little experiment? Sure. So I said to her like this. One evening, before you take rest, when you're in a quiet meditative mood, peaceful, then have a little heart-to-heart talk with God and say something like this: "My dear Lord, I don't know if you exist. I have no idea, but I would like to know. So please give me a sign that you exist." And I told her to say like this: "Make it an unmistakable sign so that I will know 100% that it's you and it's not my mind." That's what I told her. And so she left. And then about 3 or 4 days later, she called me on the phone. "I got a sign." She was so enthusiastic. She was so happy. She got a sign. Krishna reciprocated. You know, she wasn't even a vegetarian, as far as I know. So what to speak of us? So we have to begin the relationship with Krishna. He's waiting for us to take the first step, because Krishna doesn't impose. He's not going to force himself on you. He's been waiting in the background for millions of births, standing in the shadows of love, waiting for us to make some move. And when we do, he reciprocates. And Shastra says you take one step towards Krishna, he takes 100 towards you. So the sum and substance of this verse is that we shouldn't be attached, or shouldn't have aversion through the objects of the senses, because they're all stumbling blocks. We should just become attached to Krishna by reawakening our relationship with him. And then we get the higher taste, param drishtva nivartate. Thank you very much. Are there any questions or comments? Yes, Prabhu.
What's the sign the lady got?
She didn't tell me and I didn't ask her. But she got a sign and she was happy, so I was happy for her. Anything else? Hello. Yes, Prabhu.
I have some difficulties with the idea that we don't need faith, because I heard it's the only thing that we can offer to the process, to have some faith, and we do one step and try it, and we see it works, and then our faith grows, and we can go the next step, and so on. But I can't imagine that for a long time to go this process without faith, that it works.
Well, let's look at faith. It's a very good point. Thank you very much.
Maybe it's a question of language.
So sprach Deutsch and he can translate.
I think faith means different things in English. Could it be?
Well, I can explain it. Okay. from Sanskrit. We forget about English. Let's go with Sanskrit. Okay, so there's Shraddha.
Yes.
And there's andhavishwas. Andhavishwas means blind faith. Blind faith means you don't have any experience, you don't have any understanding, but you have some faith. Maybe it's your family tradition. Maybe out of fear you have some faith that God will protect you or whatever. But that's called blind faith. Shraddha is faith based on understanding, knowledge, and experience. So, why do we have faith? Because we're getting some taste, some experience. And where does that come from? So Bhaktivinoda Thakur explains it very nicely. He says that within our bhakti yoga process, we have certain duties. Now, after some time, the duty becomes, you'd rather do something else. You know, I've got to be at the temple at such and such a time to do this and that, but I'd much rather do something else. That happens. But because it's your duty, you give up what you'd rather do and you do this duty. So Bhaktivinoda says that that's the first step in love for Krishna. It's not the last step, it's just the first. So following your duty means you're now beginning your loving service to Krishna. And Krishna reciprocates that seva. And so when Krishna reciprocates, then your faith becomes stronger. Your Shraddha increases more and more and more and more. So there's a process which is explained in the Srimad Bhagavatam that adau Shraddha. First we have some faith. And then because of that Shraddha, then we take shelter, we associate with the sadhu, sadhu sangha. Then we give up the asat sangha and we only take to the sadhu sangha. And then we enthusiastically take up bhajana kriya, all the principles of devotional service. And then when we do that, gradually, anartha nivritti, all the anarthas, the unwanted things, become reduced. So in the beginning, we come with just bad habits. We don't have any Krishna consciousness. But at the stage of anartha nivritti, you get to about 50-50 point. Your attraction for Krishna consciousness and your attraction for Maya are about equal. At this point, you come to the stage of nishta, because once you go to 51 and Maya is 49, now you're more on the Krishna conscious side, so you become fixed. And as you become more fixed, continue in your bhakti yoga process, you eventually get the taste, ruchi. Once you're experiencing that taste, there's no way you're going to go back. Param drishva nivartate. And as you continue serving now with relish and with enthusiasm and with emotion and feeling, then you reach the level of asakti, which means that you're so attached to Krishna, you would rather die than give it up. There's no way you'll ever go back. And then from that platform, you come to bhava, where you're experiencing divine feelings of emotion, tears coming to the eyes. And then, of course, the next stage is pure Krishna prema. So these are all steps getting closer and closer and closer to Krishna prema. Now, how long does it take for us? Okay, we know in the Shastra, some people do it quicker than others. But here's a story that Tamal Krishna Maharaj told me. He said that when he was traveling with Srila Prabhupada in 1970, Prabhupada had left Los Angeles at that time, where he was preaching only in the Western world, and he decided to go back to India and begin the India mission. And he revealed that Prabhupada had said that the deity Rukmini Dwarkadish in Los Angeles had said to him, you've done really good here in the West, now go back to India. So he went back to India, and he was speaking about the different devotees and their service. And Tamal Krishna said that Prabhupada told him that Jamuna Devi, who sings Govindam Adipurusham Tamaham Bhajami, she was already at the stage in 1970 of Bhava Bhakti. She was already at Bhav. That was in 1970. So for a sannyasi to admit that a woman was at such a high stage, it was nice to hear that. So within 4 years, Jamuna came to that stage. Now, how many of us have been here longer than 4 years? So the question I have to ask myself is, what's holding me back? What's taking me so long? And then I have to go within and have to search out what is holding me back, and I have to correct it. I also have to ask myself, what am I doing wrong? And correct that also. Because now I'm 100% convinced that this process works. There's no doubt anymore about the process. The only doubt is about me, about my own willingness to just overcome every obstacle and get closer and closer to Krishna. So that's called the science of self-realization. There's two kinds of seva in Krishna consciousness. There's the external seva, which is what we're doing in the temple, and there's the internal seva, working on ourselves, working on the anartas. We have to do that inner work. And Lord Chaitanya explained, he gave the analogy of a gardener. He says that a gardener plants a little tree, like a tulsi tree, and he waters it, but he also has to pull out the weeds. So in our Krishna consciousness, bhakti yoga, we're watering the tree of devotion, the creeper of devotion, the bhakti lata bij, by our devotional service. But we also have to pull out the weeds. That's the inner work. We have to start working on those anarthas that are holding us back. So there's external, outer work, and internal. Inner work has to be done. And when we follow the process and associate with the other Vaishnavas, study the Shastras, do service, then our Shraddha increases and we get stronger and stronger. So it's a process. Just like the process of a young child. We have, for example, a six-month-old boy, let's say, and he's a toddler. He toddles along on his hands and knees, but he sees everybody else is walking. He also wants to walk, but when he tries to get up, he can't stand even. Always falling down. So his mother's seeing that he's trying so hard to stand. So she holds him by the hand, and he's standing, tottering on his legs. And he's so happy, but she lets go, boom, he falls. But he never gives up. And so gradually, she holds his hand, he takes another step, then another step, lets go, again he falls down. So this goes on for some time. But the child never gives up, and the mother never gives up. And that's why everybody walks. So if we don't give up in Krishna consciousness, we'll go back to Godhead. But if we do give up, we won't. Because quitters never win. And winners never quit. Hare Krishna. Did I answer your question? Thank you very much.
I think we are out of time.
We're out of time. Krishna says, time I am. We're never out of Krishna. However, I understand your point. I was at a gathering once, and they asked me to lead kirtan, and then there was a guru there. So we were just getting into the kirtan, and then the guru attracted my attention. He went like this, which meant wind it up. He wanted to speak. So he didn't say out of time, he just went like this, wind it up. It was kind of funny. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki.